Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Qualifications for a miracle. You have to qualify for everything. You can't get a credit card if you don't qualify. You can't get a car if you don't qualify. You can't rent an apartment if you don't qualify. And so people just think that randomly or generically, God just showers down miracles. No, there are some qualifications, things you must do to put yourself in the miracle line. You may be seated. Praise God. The lottery is now $900 million. $900 million. I was watching the news. Randy Beamer was asking people what they did. And so the news lady, she said, I've got a great, great way of winning. She said, I always go, when it gets big like this, I go to a Chinese restaurant, I get those numbers, and I play those numbers. And Randy said, man, that's great. You ever win? She said, I hadn't won a dime. He said, I'm really going to start doing that. There's a lot of people that are copying people, doing things that didn't work for the people they're copying. Hey, if it didn't work for them, it's probably not going to work for you. That's the reason why I like God's principles better than I do the world's principles. Because they work for God, they work for the church, and they work for me. And I praise God that I am a recipient of the blessing of God in my life every day. Praise God. Let's start with these qualifications. Number one, you must believe that he is. If you don't believe that there is a God, then you might as well get out of the miracle wishing business because it's not going to happen. You must believe that he is. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he kind of describes what faith is. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Agnostics and atheists disqualify themselves. I am convinced more than this podium is here today that God is real, that he is my God every day, that he knows me by name. He's numbered the hairs of my head. He gave me a unique fingerprint. That he is on my side. That he hears my prayers. That he receives my worship. He reciprocates in like kind. And everything that I have is a result of my faith in him. And what I don't have is the fact that I have not yet perfected my faith. But I'm working on it every day. I believe that God is. I believe that he is a savior. I believe he was the creator. I believe he is the healer. I believe he is the provider. I believe he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I believe he's a soon coming king. I believe that he is present right now. I believe that he is omnipresent. Praise God. I believe nothing is impossible for him. I believe he has all power. I believe he's a good God. I believe he's a kind God. I believe he's a wonderful God. I believe he's a happy God. I believe he's a God that saves to the uttermost. I believe he's a God that holds me in the palm of his hand. I believe in God. I believe God sees me now. I believe God hears me now. I believe God's in this building right now. I believe God is going to work with his people in this building tonight. Can you give God a big shout? That was number one. Number one qualification. You must believe that God is. Number two, you must embrace the nature of God. You know, the biggest problem that people, not the entire world perhaps, but people that are struggling to believe God, struggling to get close to God, struggling to be a recipient of God's fresh every morning mercy, God's unmerited favor and grace, people that are struggling to receive that, their greatest enemy is not just worldwide religion, but it is Christianity that has been mistaught. Because I heard growing up, even myself, and me not to the extent that some have, that somehow God was a God of wrath. God was a God of, you're going to make it on your own. I hope you fail. I'm not going to help you. You got to struggle on your own. God's just waiting for you to fall so he can kick you down farther. That Christianity is taught every day, every Sunday in pulpits of America from California to the East Coast. It is a misinterpretation of the Word of God. If God was that kind of God, He would have never manifested himself in Christ and came and died for us, that we might be recipients of the goodness of God that we don't deserve, that we would be blessed coming in and going out. You've got to decide what the nature of God is and embrace that nature. And it's all in the context of this little word, this little verse I read you. He is a rewarder. Everybody say rewards. God is a rewarder. That means that God will reward you for seeking after Him. If you'll knock, He won't pretend He's not home. Did you ever have anybody come to your door you didn't want to see besides Jehovah's Witness? You tried to pretend you wasn't home, and your little girl went and opened the front door, said, come on in. God is not on the other side of the door ignoring you. He said, knock and I will open. He didn't say, seek and I will avoid you. He didn't say, ask and I will not answer. He said, if you'll ask, I'll answer. If you'll knock, I'll open the door. If you'll seek, you will find me. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of faith. God is a rewarder of prayer. God is a rewarder of the desire for companionship. If you will draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you, God said. He is a rewarder. That goes back to the very nature of Almighty God. He is a good God all the time. He's not on my side and against me one day. I saw today that Mr. Trump's attorney that said, I'll take a bullet for you, Mr. Trump. He announced just a while ago that he's going to campaign against Trump. He's going to campaign against him in the mid-elections. And oh, what a friend. Did you ever have friends like that? Let me tell you about God. The Bible, this is a great thing what the Bible said about God. The Bible said in Him is no variableness. No variableness. That means God doesn't change. He's on your side every day, not just some days. He's not on your side when you are at your best. He's on your side when you are at your worst. He is a rewarder. So you have to get that understanding of the nature of God. He's a good God. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to win. He wants you to be the head. He wants you to go over the top. He wants you to receive your needs met. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. You've got to get that ingrained. What does that mean? That means that no matter what your religious background is, primarily, if it's Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Pentecostal, whatever it is, you've got to brainwash yourself a little bit with the Word of God and say, as well-meaning as of all those great Christian denominations are, and they're all great in respects. They build hospitals. They build orphanage. They teach people of God in certain areas. But just because we're good in some areas don't mean we're always right. You've got to brainwash yourself and say, hey, my God is a good God. He's a rewarder. He's on my side. God is sitting there waiting for me, helping me, nudging me, urging me on, calling me closer, because He does not want to deny me. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a little bit, somewhat, a measure. No, more than I can even receive. God is a God of overflow. He is a rewarder. God is a God of abundance. I'm talking about the qualifications of a miracle. You can't receive from the Lord what He wants to give you if you've got a false interpretation and a false impression of what God is. If God's waiting to punch you in the face, if God's waiting to trip you up, He's not going to be your miracle worker. You've got to understand He's a good God. You see, as long as you have a false concept of the nature of God, you will not be able to pray effectively. You won't be able to worship with power, because you'll always have in one part of your brain, maybe God is going to react to me in a negative way. You've got to establish the nature of God in your heart and never doubt it. Not just that God is, but He's a good God. He's a rewarding God. He's a blessing God. He's a God that's on my side. He's a God that will fight my enemies. He's a God that will make a way where there is no way. He's a God that will take His mercy and make sure the slate is clean every day. He will not remember my downfallings, my sins, sins and my shortcomings. Every day when the sun comes up, God is brand new, waiting to bless me in a way that I have never, ever been blessed. Praise God. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm going to receive a miracle. Somebody say, I'm qualified. God has done miracles. Say it. God has done miracles in my life. But my biggest miracles are yet to come. You know, it's very important that you understand that God is never anticlimactic. What does that mean? That everything God does will be superseded by what he does next. God will never do less than he's done before. I've said this all the time. God always does better. God made man, that was a miracle. But that was nothing compared when he made woman. Look how he improved just that. Every step with God is better than the next. Praise God. The ugliest woman to me is prettier than the handsomest man. It's just the way I am. I don't have a homosexual bone in my body, folks. I can tell you that. I just don't see anything appealing about men because I think God always does better. He made man, then he made woman. Praise God. God always improves. He's never anticlimactic. What's God done in your life? Think about the very best things that God's ever done in your life. And then realize this. God is a rewarder. He's never anticlimactic. So the next chapter is going to be better than the preceding chapter. The next day is going to be bigger than yesterday, praise God. God's got some big miracles in store for you, but he's got me up here right now to encourage you to qualify for the miracles that he is about to unwrap in your life. Number three, establish the ability of God. Establish the ability of God in your mind. I love this verse in 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, Paul writing to Timothy. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able, that he is able, that he is able, God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Whatever I've invested in God, that means every prayer, that means every praise, that means every dollar in offering or tithe. That means every time I came to the house of God. That means every time I meditated, whatever I have invested in God, what I have committed, the Lord is able to keep it against that day. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. You know, today Becky came in and she said, I've got some bad news. She said, I had to take $37,000 out of the church savings account because we had huge air conditioning bills next door. We had to pay for this blacktop. That was $40,000. And so she went through it. My response is, praise God, we've got it. I don't have to walk out here tonight and kill a service and say, we got to have $37,000 or those lights are going to go out. We got it. Well, friend, I'm going to tell you about my savings account. Lay up not your treasures on this earth, but lay them up in heaven, praise God. For because what I have committed unto the Lord, he still got. And praise God, when my against that day, and when that day comes, all I've got to do is go to the Lord, and the Lord said, you got it, because I've kept everything that you have given me, and not only have I kept that, I have multiplied that. Some of you have got bank accounts in heaven that would make millionaires like Gates look like paupers. You've got some major bank accounts in heaven, and you just don't realize it. You need to learn what it is to call it in. Praise God. Don't be cheap. Some people got money. I talked to a woman the other day, and she, her and her husband are millionaires two or three times over, and she said, oh, it's so cold in our house. I said, turn on the heat. You don't have. She said, oh, my husband won't let us turn on the heat. I said, it's cold out there. That's the first thing I did. The first chilly morning we had was turn on the heat. Got a little electric fireplace with little flames. I turned it on, just sat there and watched him flicker. I felt so much better. But here's this millionaire. He's so tight that he won't turn on the heat, even when it gets cold in South Texas. Hey, some of you people are spiritual tightwads. Not to the church. You give to the church. You give. You don't give to yourself. Because you got to realize, you got to go and say, Lord, I've committed this unto you, and I got a big bank account in heaven, and praise God, I've got a need today. And the Lord will say, you got it, because what you gave unto me, I have kept. Hallelujah. And not only that, it's got big interest on it. And God said, I've got a miracle in store for you today. Praise God. There's somebody in this building tonight. This is exciting. I'm always glad I'm not preaching to three or four people. I'm preaching to hundreds of people and thousands of people, because there's big miracles. They're always in these services. And there's somebody in this building today, before you ever look into Joel's smile, you are going to have the biggest miracle you've ever had before Sunday ever gets here. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the wonderful thing about people that really love the Lord, they never let anybody become their cake. Joel's not our cake. He's our icing. Jesus, your pastor's never your cake. Jesus is your cake, praise God. Some of you are going to have a miracle before Sunday ever gets here. You qualify for it. You ought to expect it. You ought to call it in. The Lord has kept everything that you have committed to Him, praise God. Because our God is able. I've pastored dozens of people and said, Pastor Steve, when I get $1 million, I'm going to bring half of it to the church. I'm going to bring $100,000 tied to the church. I've heard that for 40-some years. That ain't happened yet. But praise God, there's some people that bring $23 every week. There's some people that bring $500 every week. There's some people that bring $312 every week. Praise God. I mean, it's just like God. They're faithful. They're faithful. They're faithful. Praise God. God is a God that is faithful. He's taking care of us. And so you have a lot of people that say they're willing, but then they say, Pastor Steve, I just don't have any money. But if I had it, you know, I'd give it to the church. Well, that willingness is great, but I can't take it to the bank. My friend Andrew Willis, Pastor Brandon and I hooked him up to preach this camp that we had preached. And they have lots of people there. They'll have 2,000-3,000 people there. But they're notoriously tight. I don't fool with them much, because they're takers and they're not givers. Once I find out that your street is one way, going your way, I have to get on another street. Two-way traffic is vital in relationships. And so this is one of those one-way street ministries. So anyway, we sent him over there. He preached his little heart out. He played his little horn. He sung his songs. He shook his leg. He did everything he does. Hey. Next year they call him. Next year they call him. They want him to come back. He is one of the funniest people I've ever met. He said, you know what? I can't come back. They said, why not? He said, because of the offering you gave me last year. He said, you gave me your book you had written. You gave me a CD set and some T-shirts. And said, that's all. You didn't give me no offering or nothing. He said, I took them T-shirts and that book and them CDs up to my bank and said, here, I want to pay my mortgage. And he said, you know, they wouldn't accept it, so I can't come back anymore. What I'm talking about is, are you willing? Oh, yeah. But are you able? Oh, let me tell you about my God. He's not only willing, my God is able. You're not going to scare God. You're not going to panic, God. You're not going to put blisters on the brain of God. God is not going to wave his hands in consternation. He's not going to rub his hands together in frustration and say, I just don't have the answer. God's always got the answer. God's always got the solution. God's always got the abundance. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, if I've got an old junky car, I'll just get anybody to work on that thing. They say, what kind of parts you put on? One that makes it go, that's what. I don't care. But if I got a real nice Mercedes that I drive different things at different times, or if I got a real nice Cadillac, you know where I take that Cadillac? I don't take it down there to pull your parts at the junkyard on the south side. I don't do that. I take it straight to the Cadillac dealer. I take that Mercedes straight out there to Bernie, to the Mercedes dealer. Friend, you ain't junk. You shouldn't let people put spare parts on you. You said, I've got this illness in my... You need to take it back to the manufacturer, praise God. He made you in His image. He knows your heart inside and out. He knows how your brain ticks. He knows how your fingers work. Oh, when I consider God, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Well, He is mindful of us, praise God. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what the doctor says. My God is a healer and He's got all the spare parts. He's not only willing, He is able. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He owns every diamond in the soil. He owns every gold mine there is. He has all wealth at His disposal. And praise God, we need to call it in and say, praise God, God is my Father. God is my Father. And praise God, He's not only willing, He is able. I love this verse, Philippians 2:21 through 13. You might want to put this in yellow so you can read it again when you have a need. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He said it's His will and His ability to work in you, and that is God's pleasure. It's God's pleasure to be willing and to be able to perform in you anything that you need. How can you keep from being a praiser? We got some praisers. I don't know what the percentage of church members we've got here that are praisers and how many observers. I don't want to break it down. And some people just come and observe and they observe the praisers. But oh, how in the world can you be an observer to a God that is both willing and able to do His good pleasure in you? I don't care what kind of a personality the psychologist says you have. Praise God, you ought to be a praiser. You ought to be a clapper. You ought to be a shouter. You ought to be a singer, you ought to be a dancer, you ought to be a performer, and say, I just can't quit. I just can't quit. I got to praise God. He's been so good to me. He's willing, He's able. Praise God. I know that He is, and I know the Lord is going to make a way where there is absolutely no way. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Accept the willingness of God to do good for you. Accept it. Accept the willingness of God to do for you. That's number four if you're keeping notes. Accept the willingness of God to do good for you. God is willing. You know, there's a lot of murders in this country. You know why? Because somebody wants them to perish. You know, the meanest person in the world, God is not willing that they should perish. God wants to save everybody. God loves everybody. You've got to just lay your hand on the willingness of God. Keep that in mind. Prayer, fasting, anything that you do to bless the Lord is not to persuade God out of His reluctance, because there is no reluctance in God. It is to lay your hand on the willingness of God. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should be sick. He's not willing that any should be lost. He's not willing that any should suffer. He's not willing that anybody should be without. In order to qualify for a miracle, you've got to be able to lay your mind on the idea and the understand that God is a willing God. Praise God. Praise God. Number five. This is very important. Acknowledge your weakness does not prevent His strength. Let me say it again. Acknowledge that your weakness does not prevent His strength. Now, we've gone through four of them. This is number five. Those first four, the devil tries to get you not to accept any of those, not to believe in God. He wants you to be an atheist. He wants you to believe that God is a mean God. All these things I've gone through. But if he fails there, this might not be this case in the world in general, but people like you and me, this is the devil's number one successful tactic. And that is to convince us, not that God's not able or willing, but that God won't do it because of our weakness, our failure, our sin, our undeservedness. And we've got to get back to the gospel. Look what was going on in heaven when they got there. What were they singing in heaven? Worthy is the Lamb. You've got to constantly be a miracle recipient. You've got to constantly keep in mind that you're not getting it in your name. You don't ever pray in your name, do you? You ever get down and say, so in the name of Gloria? You don't do that. I don't ever say, in the name of Steve, touch Brother Warren. It's never in your name. If it's not in your name, how could it be in your goodness? How could it be in your strength? Oh, it's not in your name. It's not in your goodness. It's not in your strength. It's not in your perfection. But the devil says you don't deserve it. That will affect every part of your spiritual life if you let that concept penetrate your brain. You'll get to where you don't like to come to church because you feel condemned. You'll get where you don't pray effectively because you don't pray the prayer of faith. You pray the prayer of condemnation. I know that I probably don't deserve this. I know that I'm probably not going to get this because I'm not worthy. My name is not Mother Teresa. My name is not Billy Graham. And so I'm not going to get this. And the devil does that better than anything else to spirit-filled people. Because we strive to please God. Now, the world doesn't strive to please God, and so they bypass this step. But people like us that want to please God, we are saddened when we fail God. That's all right. To be convicted and saddened when you don't live up to what you know God expects and what you expect of yourself. Paul talked about that often. He failed in his self-expectation of what he wanted to be to the Lord. But you cannot say, all right, my weakness is going to prevent the strength of God. It simply does not work that way. The devil's final attempt to break the miracle connection, if he can't get to you to doubt God in any of these other ways, is self-recrimination. When you begin to say, it's because of me, you've got to get away from that in your prayer, your praise, and your expectation. You've got to get your attention off of yourself and get your attention on the Lord, high and lifted up. What I will receive will be based not on my worthiness, but on the worthiness of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus. That's the reason why you pray. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the reason why you pray in Jesus' name. Your faith, your prayer, your worship, everything is predicated upon the worthiness of the Lamb of Almighty God. I'm going to receive a miracle, not because I'm the best guy in San Antonio, but because I have an understanding that my God is a good God. My God is a willing God. My God is a God of ability. My God is an ever-present help. Praise God. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need, Dottie Rambo said in her song many years ago. Praise God. And I love to understand this from James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah, you remember him, don't you? The guy with the beard in the Old Testament, you remember him. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But he was a man of what? Like passions. It's just imperative that you get that story and that understanding. Elijah was one of the greatest men of the Bible, but he was a man of like passions. That means like weaknesses, like temptations, like failures, like moods. I say that Elijah was probably the first bipolar man in the Bible because he was so abundantly blessed and so mightily used of God that he was able to stop the heavens from raining and then turn on the spigot and turn the rain on. What a powerful man of faith. But you go just one chapter after he did this, and this is the text. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, I've had enough. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers or anybody else. He said, I'm not qualified. I'm just like everybody else. He said, I'm suicidal. I want to die. I've had enough. That was just after his great miracle at Mount Carmel. What's the point? Like passions. He was a man of many moods. He was a man that was perhaps bipolar. He was a man that failed many times, but yet he was able to summon his faith in Almighty God and cause it to rain. And I want to submit to people in this building today that the devil is a liar, that you are going to have miracles in your life, that God is not holding grudges, that what happened last month or 12 years ago or a marriage ago is not going to keep you from receiving what God wants to do in your life. I want you to renew your faith. I want you to stir up your gift. I want you to begin to say God is, and God is able, and God is willing, and He's a good God all the time. Praise God. And the final point, if you want to qualify for a miracle in your life, you must emulate the pattern of God. Do you know the Bible teaches us that we are to emulate God? We are to emulate Christ. The Bible said in the Old Testament, command ye God. In other words, tell God exactly what you need Him to do in your life. And this is the verse, Romans 4:17. I love this verse. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Who's he talking to? Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Friend, when you realize that you qualify, when you realize you're in the right line, when you realize that you're not going to be disqualified, when you realize that St. Peter's not going to dismiss you at the gate, when you realize, praise God, that you are the purpose of creation and the purpose of redemption, when you realize that you are the apple of His eye, that God is on your side, He will withhold no good thing from you, then you got to stand up on the tiptoes of faith. Look through the periscope of envisionment and say, now let me emulate God. Let me call those things that be not as though they were. That means you begin to speak to Him. Oh, that was a masterpiece Pastor Brandon preached on Sunday. One of the best I've heard in a long, long time. If you wasn't here, you need to pull it down, get it, whatever they do. Get you a CD, however you can get that. But it was amazing. It was amazing. Your mountains have ears. The bones have ears. But they don't have a mouth. They can't talk back. Praise God. You need to emulate God and begin to call those things that be not as though they were. My son is saved. My husband is living for God. My bank account has a positive balance. I got a new car in my driveway. We're moving into a better house. My family's saved. I'm going to get the job. My business is going to prosper. My health is divine. My family is reconciled. You need to call those things that be not as though they were. Stand on your feet and give God the biggest praise you can. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think for just a moment before you lift your hands. I want you to think for just a moment. What is the number one thing that you like to have in your life? Literally a miracle that you need in your life. And if you don't want somebody to hear it, you can say it softly, I guess. But I want you now to close your eyes. I want you to think about that thing. And I want you to raise your hands. And I want you to call that thing that be not as though it were. Begin to put it in the now category. Right now, God, I believe I'm healed. Now, God, I believe my family's saved. Right now, praise God, in the name of Jesus. If there's somebody in this building right now that you know you need a miracle in your life, and you know that God is speaking to you, and you're going to be the person that's going to get a miracle in the next 72 hours. Praise God. I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to come down to this altar, and I want you to put your hands up, and I want you to acknowledge the things I've preached to you about, and then I want you to begin to call those things that be not as though they were in the name of Jesus. Lord, You are the provider. Somebody got a court case.
Somebody's got a court case. Whoa, somebody's got a court case. It's not you. It's your kids. It involves your grandkids. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. You need to call that court ruling in like you want it to be in the name of Jesus. If that's you, get to this altar, praise God, and call your grandchildren into the kingdom of God. Somebody's got a doctor's appointment. Somebody's got a hospital stay. You need to call it right now into the miracle category. Somebody needs a financial blessing. Somebody needs a loan approved. Somebody needs something from the Lord. This is your moment in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Robabakasata. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm agreeing with you. Whatever you're believing for, when I touch you, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus.